David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Shot!
This is breaking news, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Gentlemen, a statement from David Baker, president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Gale Sayers, former Bear great and Hall of Famer, passed away today at the age of 77 years old.
Yeah, he had been in declining health, dealing with dementia. And he was an awesome dude and an amazing player whose career was cut short because of multiple ACL injuries, which when he played, they didn't know how to fix them like they do today.
Yeah, you knew Gale Sayers. I produced shows for Gale Sayers. He used to do a weekly show with Mike North. And just to be able to be around that greatness and for him to tell those stories of his time in the NFL was kind of cool, because I'm too young to remember him playing in his prime, but to hear him tell those stories about playing for the Chicago Bears and what it meant being around Papa Bear Hallis and stuff, I live vicariously through him, through those stories. So it's good that I at least had conversations with Gale to kind of know where he was coming from.
Yep, and he went to Kansas. He's the Kansas Comet, Danny's alma mater. So anyway, we will discuss that before 10 o'clock today. But again, Gale Sayers, gone too soon, gone at the age of 77. All right, Darnell Mayberry is going to join us in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll go talk about the Bulls, because they hired Billy Donovan as their new head coach. And as we talked about it in our earlier last hour, we talked a little bit about how you feel like the Bulls went to the top shelf and found someone that was the best available. It wasn't a young assistant. It wasn't some also-ran. Here's a guy here that decided to leave Oklahoma City, knowing that, as Woj mentioned in our last hour, that Oklahoma City team that was in decline. Why stick around, right? It's time for a new challenge, and Chicago's that new challenge.
Well, let's go to Q on the south side of the great city. Q, what's up, man?
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
How you doing, kid?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just calling because I love the Bulls hiring. I love the coach, and maybe, hopefully, we can have a chance to get Giannis and maybe another good point guard up here. I want D. Rose back, but we had a rebuilding stage, so hopefully we can make something happen. And another thing, six wings from Harold's cover the mouse off the best.
Wait, say that again?
A six wing cover the mouse off the best from Harold's.
Yes.
I'm on my diet thing, but I got to cheat with Harold's.
Absolutely. That is a cheat situation. No question about that. Six wings with a mild sauce on the top with fries.
They have boneless wings?
No, those are not wings, pal. Boneless wings aren't. They're not even wings.
Those are chicken nuggets.
Those are chicken nuggets.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? What do you mean, whatever?
Q, thanks, man.
No, what do you mean, whatever? Explain that. What do you mean? I know Mayberry's there. Explain.
I'm not a huge fan of chicken on the bone. Yeah, just being honest.
Why? What's wrong with the bone?
Don't like it.
Okay. Well, those chicken nuggets that you're talking about? Mm-hmm. That's what you thought. That boneless wings. Those are chicken nuggets, pal. I'm just here to tell you. Some people just need to be able to let you know what the truth is. That's the truth, all right? This whole thing that you think that boneless wings is actually wings, well, obviously that's not a wing. Does that look like a wing when you put it in your mouth? Probably not.
Not to go all armchair nutritionist on you, but a nutritional fact that chicken on a bone is actually healthier for you than chicken without the bone.
Okay, well, so, this guy's going to tell me, that he's not a big fan of chicken on the bone. What are you talking about, pal? You think Harold's has that? No. I'm going to take you to 79th and Cottage, where you belong, where a good Harold's is, and you're going to learn that Harold's is the best, more so than your frou-frou chicken boneless wings.
Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic is a good friend of our show. He's an outstanding writer.
Unbelievable.
And he's been all over this hiring of Billy Donovan that we were screaming about for the last 3 weeks. And certain people went, I don't know about this. They're not going to get him. I had a buddy of mine tell me, there's no way he's picking the Bulls. Well, he did. And Darnell joins us now. Mr. Mayberry, good morning. Are you looking at this hiring as the dawning of a brand new era for the Bulls? Is this as big as we think it is?
Well, good morning, guys. I am looking at it as sort of a dawn of a new era. You can't help but to, if you look at all the positive momentum that this franchise has had since hiring Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. I mean, they've made all the right moves. They haven't played a game. They haven't even had a real press conference yet. But just from everyone that I've spoken with around the league, there's so much respect for this front office team, Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, the general manager. People feel like that they're really headed in the right direction, and I think them signing Billy Donovan on to be the head coach is a clear sign of that, because you're right, Cap, there was a lot of people, and I was one of them, who didn't think that Billy Donovan would take this job because of where the roster stands, because of the other teams that offer better, more talented teams. But this one came out of left field a little bit, but you got to give the front office team credit for going out there and getting the best coach available.
Darnell, are boneless wings really chicken wings?
Man, I can't believe you guys are really arguing about boneless wings versus chicken wings and chicken nuggets. Like, they're both great.
Thank you.
Hey, how's that fence you're riding? Feel good?
That hoodie.
Anyway, you don't write like that, so I don't even know why you would say that. But nonetheless, what are your memories, Darnell, of the day-to-day watching Billy Donovan, Oklahoma City? Because I think people that are not into the league have to know what it was like for Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City day-to-day.
You know, the one thing that comes to mind with Billy Donovan, my memory of him from Oklahoma City, is professionalism. You know, you heard Arturis Karnišovas talk a lot about alignment, being on one accord with the head coach, front office, and ownership. And I think they got a guy in Billy Donovan. Look, a lot of the candidates would have probably been great choices, but I've seen Billy Donovan up close and personal, and we've worked with him. We've seen him in action. A lot of these other guys, they haven't been in that head seat, and that's a big jump, going from a lead assistant to the head coach. And Billy Donovan was able to make the jump from college to the NBA seamlessly. He had some great talent, no doubt about it. But the way he was able to come in and carry himself and maintain a level of professionalism for that organization and help the Thunder continue to build their culture, I think not a lot has been made about that in terms of what Billy Donovan did. Sam Presti gets a lot of that credit. But Billy Donovan, for the last 5 years, has carried himself extremely well on and off the court.
So when you look at this overhaul, and now Billy Donovan's not coming cheap. He didn't come here for $1 million a year. Like, this is, I'm going to guess, exclusive of incentives and bonus structure. This is at least 5 for 25. And this is a major statement in the midst of saying we're losing nine-figure money between the Bulls and the White Sox. This is, management has stepped up. Now Arturis has to paint the picture. Agreed?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they've certainly stepped up. I mean, even before Billy Donovan, just going out and getting Arturis Karnišovas, who probably didn't come cheap either, and Mark Eversley, and then filling out the rest of the front office staff with Pat Connolly and J.J. King. So, J.J. Polk, excuse me. So they've done a lot of moves to try to get to a certain level of relevance and get back to a certain level of competitiveness. Again, these guys have yet to have a press conference. There's a lot of positive momentum, but there's still a lot of moves to be made. And like you said, it's now up to our tourists to go out there and get some real players to come in here. And we're going to start with that fourth overall draft pick and see what they do there, if they're going to make the selection or move the pick to try to get some veterans in here. But this tells me, Cap, that they're not really looking to rebuild. They're trying to retool this thing and not tear it down and start over.
Agreed.
The signing of Billy Donovan, more than anything, tells me that.
Darnell, the thing I think about also is Billy Donovan working with young players. We saw this in his time in Florida. We saw this here in Oklahoma City. What stands out most about his ability to work with young players? Because initially, he's going to have a young roster, probably the most difficult job he's had initially to date.
Well, it's just, to me, it's how he gets the most out of them. And it doesn't seem to matter what caliber of player they are. I mean, you can go back to his Florida days. He had projects come through there. He had, not as talented guys come through there that he made the most out of. And then he obviously had the stars that we know about. And then you look at what he did with the Thunder. I mean, go back to Steven Adams as an early player. Andre Robertson turned into one of the better defensive players in the league. What he did with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander this year, and Lu Dort, Darius Bazley. I mean, the list goes on of guys, and everyone concentrates on the Kevin Durants and the Russell Westbrooks and Paul Georges that he coached while with the Thunder, but they don't talk enough about the young guys that he's helped be able to grow down there in that program. So, you know, I just think for guys like Kobe White and Wendell Carter Jr., he's going to come in and inspire them at a level that Jim Boylan probably was never going to be able to. He immediately brings credibility from the two national championship with Florida, went to the Western Conference Finals in 2016 in his first year with the Thunder, Kevin Durant's last year, and has never missed the playoffs. You know, we talk about him losing in the first round all we want, but his team changed every single year that he'd been in Oklahoma City. I don't know if you know that, guys. All of his 5 years, he had a different roster there. So,
correct.
That's another good sign for me. We make all these excuses about how Fred Hoiberg didn't have the roster that was built for him, how Jim Boylan came in and had all these injuries. Well, Billy Donovan went out there and got it done regardless of what kind of hand he was dealt. And I think that's a sign of a good coach.
Yep, he tailors what he does to the roster that you give him. He doesn't go, son of a, I lost two. We have no chance. Mm-hmm. I got to know Billy when he was an assistant for Rick Pitino, and he would come through Chicago and recruit whoever it was, Antoine Walker and others. This guy is a people person. And that, to me, with Arturis, Eversley, Billy, and they walk into a meeting with a top free agent or a guy they're trying to trade for, like, I feel like the Bulls are now in play on anybody. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, they have to do it on the court first, for sure. But as soon as they start winning some games and showing that they're serious about turning this program around, turning this culture around, I have no doubt they're going to be able to be a player in free agency.
Darnell, we were talking earlier about Zach LaVine, and my contention is that on a really good team, Zach is a really quality second or third option offensively. But on this team, you can fill it up. But it's been a team that has underachieved greatly. So what do you think the future is for Zach LaVine with the Bulls? Because I still believe, even with Donovan here, if he's the number one guy, I just don't see you winning a lot of games with him being by himself as the premier option offensively.
Well, I think they got to roll with what they have for now. I mean, it's easy for us to sit back and say they need a number one guy or Zach LaVine's not the number one guy. But it's another thing to actually be able to go out and get that guy. So I do think that I know that they're still high on Zach LaVine, and given his contract, he's got a relatively team-friendly contract. He's a born 20-point-per-game scorer. He's going to you know what you're going to get out of him, and the team knows what a luxury it is to have Zach LaVine. So I'd be surprised if he's on the way out in any way immediately. I think they want to see what they have and how much more he has left.
Hey, man, appreciate your time, your knowledge. Your story is awesome, and keep killing it on the beat, okay?
All right, guys, thanks.
Have a good day.
Get you some Herald, Darnell.
Oh, by the way, hey, Darnell.
Yeah. That's a fine.
That's a fine. I just went to the Herald's website. Yeah, they have boneless. So
That's not what it was. That's not what you saw. Why are you going to lie to the audience? That's
delicious.
Not what you saw. It was
I bet you they're delicious.
Okay, get out of here, Darnell.
Thanks, Darnell. Just have a here, great man. Day.
Nonetheless. Those are called chicken tenders. Those are not boneless.
It's the same batter. It just doesn't have a bone running.
Don't try it. Don't even try it. Come on, man. Your co-host is black. Think I'd know the difference?
I did not know that.
Wow. I know you didn't, Jeff. But the point is that, like, that's not the same thing. You know it's not the same thing.
So
by the way, he went to the Herald's website, the one downtown on Wabash. That's not a real Herald's, man.
It's amateur hour over here.
Harold's Chicken Shack. And I'm looking.
Yeah, no, you went to the one downtown. I mean, it's a decent one, but it's not the one on Cottage or the one on Halsted, man.
All right. I'll look it up.
Well, let's see. What does Eric think? What does Eric think from Elmhurst?
We'll get to Eric. We'll be right back.
Wait a minute.
A legend died today.
Danny wants to take him. Danny wants you to take him before we move on.
All right.
Yeah.
I just try to follow the rules.
I know,
here.
But that's okay. It's special. Harold's is important.
Let the music play.
Eric, what's up, man?
Your West Side card is revoked. I listen to this station all the time, and I hear you. Anytime somebody says, oh, I'm from the West Side, my dad is. And
I'm not
what?
From
you
the
cannot,
West Side. My late
no,
father
no,
was.
Okay, look, well, you can't come there. You cannot cross over Austin Boulevard until you go to the Herald off of Cottage Grove and get a six-piece fried hard.
Take that.
You guys don't know about that. You got to get it fried hard. And I'm with Danny. You got to get the hot sauce. The mild sauce is a hard pass.
That's well, you know, I'm a mild sauce dude, man. I mean, and by the way, sometimes, Eric, when you order, it's just already on there. I can't send it back.
Well, you gotta make sure they know to fry it hard. Otherwise, you'll get a sloppy piece of chicken. But
yeah.
I'm on your side. I'm on your side, Jay Hood. Well, this is about Cap. Cap, you always tell people you're better than that. Well, guess what? You're better than that. How are you going to be from Chicago and never had any Harold's chicken in your life? I mean, you're better than that.
Here's what's tripped out about it. Cap recruited in the city. I mean, he recruited. He had the Windy City Round Ball Review. You didn't stop at a Harold's when you were on the South Side? When you were handing it out to Sonny Cox? When you went to King? When you went to see Hamrick and Simeon? You didn't stop to a Harold's?
Is this okay? 8653 South State. Is that one good?
No.
Is that still open here? I don't think it. No, it's still open. The one 87th and State? That one
and
used to be
don't go to the one in Schaumburg either. You got to go to the one that's off Cottage Grove next to the gas station.
That's exactly right.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Great news, Cap. I just talked
You're
to the
better power- than that.
I just talked to the powers that be. We have changed the route of the Unity Walk. You are now walking from here to the Herald's on Cottage Grove.
Yeah.
From yesterday.
79th.
I'm looking at this menu. There's Short some trip. Stuff on there that this guy ain't going to eat.
I think we figured out, Hoodie, why Cap's coaching and recruiting career fizzled out and why he's a talk show host now.
You didn't Maybe spend enough time in the inner city.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, for a guy that was recruiting in the city,
you didn't
break bread. Like, we really think you'd be good to our program. Hey, can I get a half white, mild sauce, okra? I mean, you didn't do that?
Gizzards.
Take that.
Livers.
Livers, no. I'll pass on that.
Take a hard pass.
Yeah, not that. But gizzards, yeah, that depends.
Perch and catfish combo.
Oh, yeah,
hard pass.
If you were recruiting, you'd have to eat that stuff.
Yeah, I got invited to a young man's home.
Right.
His mom cooked for me.
Soul food, right?
Soul food.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate everything, and it was delicious.
Probably a lot of greens.
There
Definitely.
Were collard greens.
Yeah, really good.
Cornbread.
Yep.
It was amazing stuff.
See, that's what I saw.
Young man by the name of Kenyatta Wilson. I'll never forget it.
There you go. See?
I went to Robeson. All right. We remember a Bears legend. Next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
And Jay Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Day 24 in your morning commute with Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan, Jeff Meller, Danny Zetterman, J.R. Strauss. We are your morning team. And while we've been having fun talking about the hiring of Billy Donovan, and we revel in our Bears being 2-0 and two baseball teams headed to the postseason, we just learned that Gale Sayers died at the age of 77 this morning. He had been in declining health. One of his last public appearances was at the Bears 100 celebration at Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont mm-hmm. in June of 2019. He was in a wheelchair. I had the privilege of doing an inside look for NBC Sports Chicago with him at his offices in the northern suburbs. And at that point, he was still lucid and fairly sharp, but you could see there had been some decline. And his wife had said, you know, it may take a little while longer to shoot this than normal. Gale's starting to have some memory issues. And in the last several months, he's really, really declined. So it wasn't unexpected. Sad nonetheless, because that guy was a really good dude and a hell of a football player.
He really was. When you take a look at those films and see how he was able to cut through defenses, and I was able to see those films and just say, boy, I wish he was in the NFL longer. But for the time that he was there, he made a huge impact on everybody, including Chicago Bears fans.
So this is from the Pro Football Hall of Fame about Gale.
Just give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need. Born in Wichita, Kansas, but raised in Omaha, Nebraska, Gail Eugene Sayers was one of three sons raised by Roger Winfield Sayers and Bernice Ross. He attended the University of Kansas and with 4,000 all-purpose yards was named the Kansas Comet, but football was not a means to an end.
I went to college not as an athletic student, but a student athlete.
He was selected by the Chicago Bears as the fourth overall pick in the 1965 draft by owner, GM, and head coach Papa Bear.
And I want to give a special thanks to George Halas. A man who more than anyone else has made professional football what it is today. There's not much you can say about someone who's become a legend in his own lifetime, but I want to try. Mr. Halas is one of those rare individuals who is not content with things as they are, but sees things as they could be and works to make things better.
As a rookie, he exploded with an NFL record 22 touchdowns, capped off in December on a muddy Wrigley Field with 6 touchdowns. As great as he was on the field, his quiet wisdom and integrity made him the perfect choice for George Halas. Halas chose Gail to become the first African-American ever in the NFL history to room with a white player in 1967, Brian Piccolo. They were completely opposites who found themselves to be best friends through football. A true story that captured America's ideal of coming together in Brian's song. They became great friends, and it was Gail at Brian's bedside when he tragically passed away before the season started. A sober part of life's journey.
Reaching this point, however, is not as important as striving to get here. This is true in all professions. In all life's activities, there are doctors, lawyers, school teachers, plumbers, all who strive to do the very best to their abilities. We hear a lot today about how the American people have lost their dedication to excellence. I don't believe that is true. Each of us excels at different things, sometimes in areas that are only a hobby. More often in our life's vocation, the most important thing, however, is to strive to do our very best.
Gail Sayers, Hall of Famer forever.
And the sad news that came this morning, Gail Sayers, one of the greatest Chicago Bears, one of the greatest players, and a super guy, dead at the age of 77. Jesse Rogers will join us on another Cubs postseason berth. That's next.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So the Cubs, for the fifth time in 6 years under Theo and Jed, are back in the postseason. So we could complain about they didn't develop this pitcher, they didn't make that deal. All I know is, and again, we love to criticize and micromanage or, you know, give honest perspective that they've made mistakes. 5 postseason berths in 6 years. My late father never had that. Mm-hmm. I never had that. Pretty damn tasty this morning.
Absolutely. You take it how it comes. Mm-hmm. It is a flat team going into the playoffs. You've been waiting for that magic offensively for a few years now, but the accomplishment of getting to the postseason is a rung on the ladder that you'll take rather than being a non-playoff team.
Our guy Riz with a two-run bomb to tie it last night, and then Kevin Stallings, the basketball coach,
yes,
from Illinois State, Vanderbilt, Pitt, his son with the walk-off, Jacob Stallings, to beat the Chicago Cubs. That leads us to our baseball insider, Jesse Rogers.
Better hair on his kid, though.
Neither one has any hair. His kid looks like me.
Exactly.
Kevin's got the horseshoe. I hate the horseshoe.
I don't want to
shave the head, man.
Speaking of the horseshoe, here's Jesse.
Here's another bald guy, Jesse Rogers.
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. Let me take it a step further, Cap, because I agree 5 out of 6 is great. But you know, a critic might say, well, it's a little watered down now. You have 16 teams making it this year, wild card teams. Like, you know, your dad he would have seen 3 division titles, and that's all that they would have made, right, back in the day, because they didn't have the wild card. But let's take it a step further. It's 6 straight Septembers of meaningful baseball. It wasn't that long ago that the lovable losers were out of it well before September. 6 straight Septembers. And that really, if you go back to the time where they emerged out of this rebuild, that's what anybody would have taken. Like, hey, I just want meaningful baseball for 6 months, not for 2.5 months. And that is what Theo really, in reality, has presented to the fan base here, because it is hard to win multiple World Series. It's hard enough to win one. But I'll take 6 straight Septembers of competing. All right, now we can be critical.
Yeah, well, I mean, rightfully so, right?
Yeah.
But it's rightfully so, because we have standards here in Chicago. That's the reason why, Jesse. We have a standard. So let's take a look at Quintana yesterday, the 2 innings that he pitched. So as you take a look at the rotation for the playoffs for the Cubs, who are you the most to least confident in?
Well, the obvious 2 to be most confident are Hendricks and Darvish. Now, you know, Hendricks may have sort of caught Darvish in some sense. Darvish has had a couple cracks in his armor lately, but you could split the hairs on either one of those 2. Now, it's funny you mention that, because for me, a Game 3 starter, there is no other choice. It's John Lester. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a kick out of people asking Ross yesterday about who, you know, where John Lester fits into October. Now that he has fixed himself, I'm not saying a month ago I would have done this, but now that he has fixed himself, John Lester is getting that ball. He is getting that ball in October. You are not going to Alec Mills or Jose Quintana, who's barely pitched, instead of John Lester in October. It's just not happening in my world, at least. And I don't think in David Ross's world either. So Hendricks, Darvish, 1-2-1, you know, 2-1, whatever you want to say. And then obviously Lester to me. And, you know, Mills is going to get a start if they advance far. I mean, you're going to need 4 starters. You may even need 5 if you don't want to pitch someone on short rest. I think Quintana is likely to piggyback someone out of the pen. I don't think he's going to come in with 2 outs in the 8th inning to get some left-hander out. But someone has a short start, and there's Jose Quintana to come in. I don't necessarily see Jose Quintana starting a game unless it's like in an opener situation. He gets a couple 3 innings. He's not stretched out. He's not going to be as sharp. Though in the few times he's been out there so far, he's looked decent. But that's a whole other animal when you're talking about, you know, starting in the playoffs.
Jesse, as you look at the offense, Riz finally hit a home run with somebody on base. First time this year. That was last night.
You're welcome, Riz.
There you go.
Because he's
on
the show.
We get your mind in the right place, and he hit a 2-run home run.
That's right.
Do you see this offense at all starting to awaken, or are you with me? Hey, man, it is what it is. They're just not very good.
No, I mean, I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but it's a disaster. It's a disaster. When Chris Bryant was in there, he wasn't performing very well, and you just needed his presence, if anything. You know what I mean? Like, now he's out. And yes, David Bodie has performed well, but when the backup becomes a starter, you just don't know what that's going to look like, and we don't know when Bryant's going to be back anyway. And the rest of the lineup is quite a disaster for the most part. They are hitting 197 against lefties. 197 that against lefties. It's not like lefties on, you know, Tuesdays at night. This is against lefties. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 60 games or not. 197. And they aren't that great against righties these days either. So luckily, I was looking this up, there aren't that many lefty starters that will be in the NL playoffs. I mean, the Rockies have a couple. They're not going to be at it. But plenty of teams have lefties out of the bullpen. And as soon as you go to one, the Cardinals did this. They would go to a couple lefties, even if a lefty wasn't starting, and then the Cubs would shut down. So that's my big concern. But overall, it's just a mess. It's a mess. And maybe they can get hot, but it's hard to see it. You know, it's hard to see it happening. It doesn't mean it can't happen. The names are still pretty good, but it's hard to envision them getting hot for four rounds of the playoffs. If they're going to go far, it's going to be on their pitching staff.
What is the latest on Chris Bryant, Jesse?
Well, bleak is never good, Jay Hood, but it sounds like a sort of minor oblique issue. That's the good news. If it was a regular oblique, he'd have an MRI and he'd be done. I mean, Cole Hamels has had a couple of obliques in his career. Takes forever to come back. Pitchers, hitters, it's just equally as bad for either one. It's basically your whole side there. And in his case, it's his right side. Can't swing. He can't really throw. It's just terrible. Now, it's just tightness right now. He didn't even have an MRI. So maybe there's a chance. But, of course, you want him to get some at-bats. So the goal would be to get him in there this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, against the White Sox to get him ready for next week. Otherwise, maybe he takes the whole week off and he's ready next week. But it's just not good either way because he's not played well and now he's injured again. Not hit well, I should say.
Jesse, as you look at John Lester, he's pitched better. I know it was the Pirates the other day, whatever. They still have major league hitters. Do you see a path, as Gordon Whitmire does, that he is a Cub next year?
Well, I do see a path, and I think I said this on Waddle and Sylvie. If he's not a Cub, then that to me is the indication the Cubs are in huge financial trouble. Now, to them, they're we from the outside don't think they're in trouble because their owner is a billionaire. But in their world, if he's not back, they're in huge financial trouble because I will tell you, 1 year, $15 million would get it done. He's already getting $10 million from the buyout, so you have to consider that as well. You know, forget the buyout. You
I'm
just
not
give
giving
him one
that
year.
Guy. Love him as much as I. $15 million more on top of the $10 million, you think?
No. I'm saying $5 million more on top of the
okay.
$10 million.
$5 million.
That's
million.
What I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, you rip up the option, the other thing, you know, the buyout, and you just say, here's 1 year and $15 million. Look, CeCe Sabathia signed 2 1-year deals with the Yankees after his long term thing was done. Finished his career, everybody was happy, pitched well. John Lester should be the fourth starter next year. Fourth starter making $13 to $15 million isn't that crazy. Tyler Chatwood made that kind of money and, you know, wasn't much of a starter for 3 years here. So, and this is a gift. This is a reward for what you've done for the organization. He's 7 wins from 200, really wants to win in a Cubs uniform. So, yes, there's a path. It's an easy path. There are no bad one-year deals. You could DFA him in July if you want. I mean, it's there's not a lot to this thing in normal times. If he's not back, that isn't a baseball decision in my mind. That's a financial decision.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day, okay?
You too, guys. Hey, real quick, can I give you a trivia?
Yes.
Trivia. Guess who played baseball at the University of Florida when Billy Donovan was the basketball coach?
David Ross.
There you go. David Ross. What are the chances? Two guys at Florida now in charge of two of our teams. Pretty good trivia,
pretty
huh?
Pretty cool. You got it.
All right, guys.
Have a great day. Real fast, Hoodie. Izzy the mailman is a P1 listener, and he's in Chatham. Izzy.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Man, it's been a long time. When I last called you, you was on at 9. And I didn't get a chance to catch you guys when you moved over, before you moved over, to tell you, you know what I'm saying, goodbye and all that, because I was coming in at 9:30 at the time. So now they moved my schedule to 8, so I can call in.
Appreciate you.
I actually have a lot to say, but I'm going to keep it short because I know you guys are running on time. I was shocked. I just heard about that Gale Sayers. You guys, who threw you guys, I didn't even know. So that kind of hit me. Yeah. My father was really into him. And it hit me harder than I thought it would because he, you know, after he passed, it's like I feel like some of him came into me. So it's like his feelings, I feel like I've transmitted through me, and it kind of hit me hard. But I called about the Heralds talk. I got two Heralds for you. I think you probably heard about one of them. Both of them are Halsted.
Yeah.
The first one that you should try is 103rd and Halsted. They remodeled the inside. It's all white. And it just looks glorious in there now. And the food matches it. And the other one is 127th in Halsted. And Riverdale, that one, I believe, has a franchisee.
Riverdale?
It's close. It's on the bricks, right on the edge of the city before you cross over into Riverdale. That one, the seasoning is different, but it's so much, I ain't going to say better, but it's good in a different way. I went there one time, and I was surprised. pleasantly surprised at how good the seasoning is. But those two are two that you have to try. They're both staples in their community. They've been there forever. You might all even right. meet people from the community and all of that.
Izzy, we got to roll. I promise I am going to have this chicken. I will do it. We appreciate you calling. But I only will do it if I'm there with you.
Of course. Who else is going to lead you there?
I mean, to get my car, drive there.
No shot. You're not going to do that. It's hard for you to see the heralds in the back of the limo with the tinted window.
Oh, my God. Wow. White Sox suffer a heartbreaking loss.
It's a town car, Hoodie.
I've actually been in his limo. It's an SUV. And his driver is so nice.
Hello, Leroy. No shot.
Hoodie vents on the White Sox. Guys are insane.
You're a great guy, Leroy. Here's a dollar. Take that.
Next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So,
hold on a second, pal. Let's talk about the White Sox.
One more out, Steve Stone. One. I'm on the edge of my seat all night long. It's been that kind of game. 3-1. In the air, center field, Robert back at the track. It is off the wall. It stays in the ballpark. Lindor watched it. It's an RBI double, and it's 3-2. He could have been at third, Steve.
Yeah, Lindor should have been at third. He was admiring his own handiwork, and we've seen Luis do this a couple of times. The timing isn't quite where it should be because he got there. He knows he should have made the catch. He didn't make it.
Been a rough go tonight, and the Sox are trying to get out with a win.
Well, they will see Angel one more time behind the plate because this crew is coming back here for the Cubs series.
2-2. Ramirez hits it high in the air, deep right field, and the Cleveland Indians have walked it off on a three-run home run from Jose Ramirez. An outrageous ball game tonight that the Indians have taken at the final bell, and it's 5-3, the final score.
We said at the time the walk to Hernandez was the real damaging one because it brings Ramirez into play, and he's as hot as anybody in baseball. The Indians win a big ball game. They've got their two aces going back-to-back in the next two games against the Sox, two aces. But in the meantime, the Indians creep a game closer. And now the Sox have to turn their eyes toward the Twins and see if the Tigers can take their measure tonight. This was a tough loss.
That is a heartbreaker tonight.
Break down. Go ahead. Give it to me.
So Hoodie and I were texting last night. And then a friend of mine who is a huge White Sox guy and I were texting. He's like, can you tell me why Colome didn't come back out for the 10th? Right. Then we found out he had a back spasm. They were bringing him back out because he only threw like six pitches in the ninth. And then as I'm watching that last at bat to Jose Ramirez, I was watching all of it, but I texted my buddy Larry and I said, hey, man, this guy's going to get MVP votes. Everyone thinks it's either Abreu or Tim Anderson or Bieber. This guy's going to get his share. He's a great hitter. And it was an 0.8 seconds later, that ball's flying way out.
Let's not bury the lead here with the White Sox. Two things.
Angel Hernandez.
Number one, well, there's two things I mentioned. There's two things. One is that when you have an entitled, incompetent, inconsistent umpire behind home plate, you're behind the eight ball to start with. The second thing is that you cannot beat yourself. Yeah, Hernandez is bad. Before you see the lineup card, you know he's going to be behind the plate, and you know you're going to have an inconsistent plate hopping around on him. So you got to get past that. But you can't beat yourself in that spot. Mm-hmm. It was so great for the Sox to be able to come back in the 10th, right? It just shows the resiliency of this baseball team. How many years of White Sox baseball you see them down or tied it in the 7th, and you're like, no way, they're not coming back. But they show you that they can put some runs together and come back in the ball game. And then Colome, which I'm not a big fan of putting the closer in a tie ball game or a blowout. But because he only threw six pitches, I'm like, okay, you're putting him back out there again because he had a nice, clean inning. Let's put him back out there. Now, I'm wondering, just like we all are, like, how come Colum A's not back out there? Even though I don't like it, we just need to be able to preserve the rest of those guys in the bullpen. And he doesn't come out, and so now the DH is taken away, right? So now it changes. There's no DH after Tim Anderson's thrown out of the ballgame, and the Sox end up losing. It was just, it's frustrating. Yeah, the Sox are in the playoffs, but game after game, you want to be able to have some momentum, especially against the Indians, and it didn't work yesterday. I'm aggravated because Hernandez is so entitled back there. You throw out Anderson, he can't speak his mind at all. Renteria's kicked out in back-to-back games. What's going on here?
I mean, let me just tell you something. Today sets up, you got to find a way to beat Shane Bieber, because all of a sudden, they win this game. They're thinking about a four-game sweep tomorrow. You're reeling. The Twins could be in first place by the end of the day. It's just not trending in the right direction. But find a way to beat Shane Bieber? Boy, does that put a little pep in your step.
Just don't like the way they lost that game yesterday. I mean, when's the last we've never seen two walk-offs in the same day.
I text him, oh boy, that's a horrible way to lose. And then 2 seconds later, he's texting me back, yeah.
That's a horrible way to lose.
Right back at you. Crazy. All right.
It just stung more from my side.
No,
because
question.
You had the game in hand.
Correct.
That's the thing that disappointed me.
Correct. The Cubs were at least tied, and they had tied it to get back in it, but you guys had the lead. Dan Wiederer joins us in 2 minutes on the Bears and Gale Sayers. Coming up.